Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb! Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 2nd of October. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Aaron Ramsey talks about his charity work. Remember, a couple of Arsenal legends in this week's A to Z of Arsenal, while Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. Let's kick off by looking back at Sunday's visit of Brighton, the very special Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I'm delighted to say that TV star, comedian, stage star, the brilliant Matt Lucas joins us today as our Arsenal insider. Matt, an absolute pleasure to have you on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And my pleasure to be here.
Of course, you were at the Arsenal for Everybody game at the weekend and you were our guest of honour for the win against Brighton. How did you find the overall day, first of all? What was it like?
Oh, it was lovely. As I was saying, you know, everybody's very quick to be critical of football clubs, you know. And actually, what Arsenal do so brilliantly is embrace the community and all the different types of people in the community. And so it was lovely to be a part of Arsenal for Everyone, and very humbling because I was there as the patron of the LGBTQ supporters group. And, you know, when I was a kid standing on the terraces, hearing all those kind of homophobic chanting, I never dreamed that the club would be so accepting. And I think we've come a long way and I'm very grateful for it.
Well, Matt, obviously your love of Arsenal comes in and out of your autobiography, Little Me, a fair bit. And we'll come on to all of that in just a couple of moments. But I'd love your thoughts on the game, first of all, to review it for our listeners. And another fairly straightforward win in the end after setting their stall out early.
Yeah, I mean, they say a sign of a good team is when you don't play at your best and still get the points. And I think that's probably fair summation of how Arsenal were. It was an early kickoff, midday on a Sunday, and I think it felt like everyone, fans, maybe even the players, were still a little bit sleepy. But they scored two goals and they got the point, and Liverpool drew. So Arsenal are now fifth. Now, it was only a couple of weeks ago that they were 16th. So it's a relief to see Arsenal back in that, in those vying for those Champions League places.
Well, Matt, let's just remind ourselves of the opening goal coming from the slightly unlikely source.
Well, this free kick is about 5 yards to the byline and it's about 1 yard outside of the penalty area right-hand side. So Granit Xhaka is going to curl this one in left foot. He's going to be an in-swinger. Kolasinac holding towards the edge of the penalty area. Was the outside of the box. Kolasinac is making a move towards the 6-yard area. Lacazette pretty much on his own far side. Now Lewis Dunker's gone across to deal with him. In it comes towards the far post. Lacazette can knock it back. Falls here as the shot on the turn for Mustafi. Cleared off the line. Hector Bellerin. Does that strike an arm? Another opportunity. Nacho Monreal. Man on the spot to rifle home beyond Ryan after two previous bites of the cherry. It is third time lucky for the Gunners, courtesy of our Spanish fullback.
Yeah, Nacho Monreal with a really rich vein of form at the moment, and hopefully he and the club as a whole, as you've touched on, just picking up some momentum now.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, it's amazing what's going on with the Manchester teams. Not just that they're winning, but how many goals they're scoring. It's strange to have two teams both doing that. Usually, you know, sometimes you say, well, there's one team that's racing ahead, but they're neck and neck. Spurs looking good, but they are only 1 point ahead of us, so let's not get carried away. And it's amazing how quickly, you know, that top six, top seven takes the shape that you'd expect with the two Manchester clubs and Chelsea and Tottenham and Arsenal and Liverpool. How it reverts to type. Burnley could be the surprise of the season, couldn't they?
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? Sitting up in the top six at the moment, I completely agree. So, Matt, we heard from Nacho Monreal there, whose form's been great, as we've touched on. You look at Kolasinac coming into the team, one or two other players banging form at the moment. Who are one or two of your favoured players or those that you kind of really look out for?
Well, I'm a bit biased because one of the players is my friend, and that's Theo, so I'll always stand with Theo. And I know he's not always in the starting lineup at the moment, but last week he scored two goals and very kindly stepped aside for Olivier Giroud to take the penalty. So I'm actually going to champion Theo and Olivier Giroud, even though I know that neither of them are always a dead cert to a start at the moment, because I think they're both key players when they come off the bench.
And vital, of course, to have a strong squad, as we well know, just to kind of finish our chat on Arsenal, to try and hopefully compete in so many different competitions. You need that spine, that backbone of stars, don't you?
You do. And actually, I'm excited at the prospect of seeing a lot more of Jack Wilshere play this season because we've missed him.
So, your new book coming out, Little Me, your autobiography, and we've been thumbing through one of the early editions here at the Arsenal Weekly podcast, a really good read. And boy, does Arsenal feature heavily in loads of different sections, right from your very formative years, first of all.
Yeah, well, my father, when he was 12 or 13, had an accident on his bike and went over the handlebars and really, really damaged his legs. And the doctor who operated on him was the surgeon for the Arsenal team. And while my dad was recovering, this is back in the 50s, he would give my dad tickets to go and watch Arsenal. And so my dad became a big fan. Before that, he was only really into cricket. But he became a big football fan, a big Arsenal fan. And he passed that on to my brother and me. And so Arsenal has been a huge part of our lives and continues to be, you know. And I live in the United States now, but I will watch every match on TV. And when I'm in the UK, I get to as many games as I can. And it's the constant, you know, life changes. So many things change in life as the years roll by, but football remains the constant.
And on that note, there's a really interesting section where you talk about after Little Britain's made it big and I guess, you know, you're becoming a very lucrative and well-known star. You get the chance to actually own a box.
Yeah, there was a moment there and for a few years and I really enjoyed that. But I also enjoy sitting anywhere in the ground and I used to enjoy standing anywhere. And that was a nice thing to have because it meant I could bring family and friends along. It's just lovely to go and watch them play. You know, it's great fun to be a part of that. And that novelty has never worn off for me.
Really interesting passage where you talk about how initially it was actually the sense of belonging, Matt, of going to the games and that kind of tribalism and that unity with your family was actually far more important than the action itself.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will tell you that. You know, a lot of people that the ritual of going to the game, of wearing your lucky socks, of going to have a drink in your pub, meeting your friends, the walking your route to the ground and sitting where you sit. Those things are really important, you know. And like I say, life seems to move so quickly and technology moves so quickly and there's so much going on that it's really important to have those things there that don't change. And so, yeah, I have close friendships that are born out of a shared love of Arsenal, you know. And I'm very lucky that my brother, my late father, even my mother, you know, that we're all Arsenal fans. So it's a way of us coming together.
And there is a very poignant passage as well where I think you're visiting your dad after a spell in prison, aren't you? And you're keeping him up to date as well as with the family, but actually on how the Gunners are doing as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, like I say, it's my love of the club has been with me through my whole life, and I'm sure it will be, you know. And, yeah, we love it when the team is doing well. But even when the team isn't doing well, you know, I can't miss a match.
Even in the earlier years when, of course, you had to work at the Chelsea club shop. This is a fascinating story. I loved reading this bit.
Yeah, so basically I used to babysit for this family and the guy, the dad of the family, got the franchise to run the Chelsea Football Club shop. And I think it was one of only two clubs in Britain that franchised out their club shop, you know, because obviously Arsenal run the shop themselves, don't they? And so I became assistant manager of the club shop at Chelsea Football Club, and I would wear an Arsenal shirt underneath my Chelsea top.
At 18, I think, wasn't it, as well?
I was 18 years old, yeah. Because I'd done my A-levels and I was off to university, but I wanted to take a year out to do stand-up comedy, and I told my mum that, and my mum said, oh, great, but you need to bring some money in. You know, you can't just live here rent-free. We can't afford that. So... which is a fair point. So I got the job at Chelsea Football Club in the day, and then I'd go and do stand-up gigs in the evening.
Brilliant. And you talked, obviously, about one of the key reasons that you were here with us at the weekend. And once you'd come out, and I guess your relationships were evolving in a new direction, the really interesting little passage where you're with a partner who won't kiss you when you're wearing your Arsenal shirt.
Yeah, he thought it was vulgar. Yeah. He wasn't into that. Well, I'm sorry. The Arsenal comes first.
Well, Matt, I tell you what, let's just finish then, moving away from Arsenal. How exciting and how kind of fulfilling was it for you to pen this autobiography, and how challenging at times to, I guess, bear your whole life out there in black and white for everyone?
Yeah, it was a bit scary because I've traditionally been very private about stuff. But you know what? Your head fills up. And I just wanted to upload a load of stuff out of my head so I could create some space to do something new with it. So I thought I'd put it all down on paper. And I kept very busy because I was in Doctor Who for a year. And I thought, oh, well, they won't need me in Doctor Who very much. But actually, I ended up being in every episode. So I would be filming all day, and then I'd write the book at night after I'd learned my lines. So it was a very intense year, but I think it was good, and you know, it's nice to be in control of it and to express the things that you want to express in the way you want to express them. So, you know, often when you say something, it can get a bit misreported and misinterpreted. So it's good to be able to write a book and put everything in my own words.
So, Matt,
because there were lots of different things that the press have been interested in over the years, aspects of my life and work, and it felt good to talk about them, you know, in my way.
So, Matt, we've seen you in stage, stand-up, screen, so many things over the years. What have we got hopefully coming up from Matt Lucas?
Do you know what? I really, really want to write a musical. Oof. That's the thing I want to do.
Well, you were so good in Les Miserables. I remember seeing you play the innkeeper, Monsieur Thénardier, which was stunning. So
Thank you. Maybe
you could build from there. I don't know. What
right,
do you think?
A sequel to Les Mis. I don't think I'll be doing that. I have two really big passions in life, and one is football and Arsenal, and the other is going to watch things in the theatre, particularly the musicals. I just love it. And I get out to Broadway and see shows out there and see everything I can in London and travel all over to see things. And so I think it's time to stop procrastinating and start writing something for the stage.
I demand Invincibles the musical. How about that?
Well, I used to think, you know, I one of the ideas I had once and was to try and do something about George Graham, because I thought it was just a fascinating story about how somebody was such an integral part of the club as both a player and a manager. And then, you know, when I was a kid, George Graham was manager. And of course, your synapses move a lot faster when you're young. So that period of time that he was manager, 6 or 7 years, was a very, very long period of time when you are 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You know, it all moves so much more slowly. So he felt like a very present figure in my life. And then he was sort of banished from the kingdom. And after a year, Arsene Wenger came in and had such colossal success that the achievements that George Graham had sort of dwarfed in a way. And so sometimes I think it would be good to go and look back at George Graham. And I wonder if there's a way of doing that on stage. It was one of about 15 ideas I've had. I don't know if I'm about to write it. I think I'm probably going to write something else. But he's a fascinating figure, and I think it's worth looking back at him.
Funnily enough, George Graham features in the A to Z of Arsenal for the letter G in a couple of minutes' time on this very show.
Quite rightly.
Matt, looking forward so much to reading the rest of Little Me, and a brilliant read for everyone. I strongly urge everyone to get involved and either download or buy a copy. When's it out?
It's out Tuesday the 3rd.
Matt, it's been so good to have you on. Loving your work, and hopefully we'll see you back here at Emirates Stadium for a game soon.
That would be lovely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Aaron Ramsey certainly enjoying a successful start to the season in Arsenal colours. The Gunners and Welsh international midfielder also organising charity events for the World Wildlife Fund. He spoke to us about why that charity has got a special place in his heart.
You've been heavily involved in the charity for a long time now. Do you remember a specific reason or moment as to why this became something close to your heart?
I've always had that sort of connection and felt like I wanted to do something to try and help these animals which are endangered. And I can remember being a kid and watching all the documentaries with my dad. And
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Having that sort of feeling towards them back then. So, yeah, I've always wanted to do something, and, yeah, I try and do my bit to try and raise awareness and try and help, you know, save these animals and, you know, not for my boy to grow up and be able to see as well. So it'd be a shame if that wasn't to happen.
Yeah. So is that something that maybe has become even closer since you've become a dad? It's become even more sort of you are more aware of it.
Yeah, of course. I've had the privilege to have gone over to Africa and seen some of these animals up close and in the wild freely. So yeah, it'd be a shame for my boy if he wasn't able to do that.
Of course. And you've spoken before about maybe filming a documentary about this. Is it something that you still want to work on? Is it going to be?
Yeah, of course. You know, we have to come up with the right timings and things, and you know, it's quite difficult as well with the short amount of time that we get off now, yeah. And with the internationals as well in the summer months. So yeah, I would like to do one day and you know, and get out there and get out there in the wild and see them up close, but. Yeah, well, it'll happen one day.
So what can Arsenal fans who are listening to this, what can they do? Can they go to the website, WWF, or what can they do to get involved and to help the cause?
Yeah, there's loads of things going on there. They're supporting so many different animals, but yeah, the main one for me is still poaching. That's still a massive... sort of industry that's going on, which we need to try and put a stop to, but the demand is so high at the moment that, you know, it's difficult, but I'm sure if everybody pulls together and gets behind it, we can make this happen to put a stop to it.
The A to Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit them.
G is for George, Charlie George, the local lad from Islington who went on to score the winning goal in the 1971 FA Cup final.
Graham, Radford, Charlie George. Radford. Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal! Charlie George! Oh, what a fabulous goal by George! Clemens had no chance with that.
Ray Clemens had a goal kick, and within about 5 seconds, I think the ball's in the back of the net. And for me, anywhere around 20, 30 yards, strikeable for me. As soon as it left my foot, I knew it was a goal.
G is also for one of Charlie's teammates in the FA Cup final and future Gunners manager, George Graham. After playing more than 200 games for the Arsenal in the 1960s and 70s, he returned to Highbury as manager in 1986 and led the team to that famous night at Anfield in 1989.
It was well planned. I mean, the actual players' surprise when I changed from what was regular 4-4-2 to a 3-5-2. So we decided to play with three, Tony Adams, Stevie Bold and David O'Leary. And then Lee Dixon could really push tight on John Barnes and Nigel Winterburn tight on Ray Houghton. And it worked a treat, you know. I thought it worked superbly, and you take these chances being a manager. If it works and comes off, you're a hero, and if it doesn't, you're a villain. If there's one thing I'm proud of in my managerial career was giving the Arsenal supporters wonderful memories, and probably the best is the Anfield 2-0 victory.
George would win a pair of league championships and league cups, as well as an FA Cup and European Cup Winners' Cup in his 9 brilliant years in charge. And finally, G is for Galatasaray. The Gunners have met the Turkish giants on 3 occasions, losing the 2000 UEFA Cup final on penalties, but since then having back-to-back 4-1 victories.
Welbeck on a hat-trick. Referee skips over the ball. Alexis. Oxlade-Chamberlain. Welbeck break. Here he is, and he's done it! Danny Welbeck scores a hat-trick for Arsenal, his first for the Gunners. Arsenal come forward, Ramsey feeds it to Podolski, left edge of the area! Oh, what a fantastic goal! Lukas Podolski, and it's traditional Lukas Podolski finish. Arsenal have taken the lead in the early stages of this game and put a smile on their manager's face. Maitland-Niles. Podolski running down centre field, prods it towards Sonogo, back to Lukas Podolski, who's in, it's 4-1, and it's a rare right-footed finish from Lukas Podolski.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. Clarky, I can't help but feel we spent a lot of time together the last few days in various professional guises. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I'm missing you dearly, Russ, I really am.
I've discovered, by the way, that later on you're going to be doing something very exciting at one of my other places of regular employment. You're going to be actually doing the FA Cup draw.
Well, this is just unbelievably exciting. No one's officially told me yet. But
you are. But you are. I can officially tell you.
I'm going to be drawing the balls out.
You and Ray Stubbs.
Brilliant. And I think Tony Incenso is going to take part as well. But, yeah, hopefully I'll give...
my former club Margate to Holmesbury. I know they're in the hat. But yeah, no, very excited.
And Kidderminster Harriers, please, a favourable draw.
Yeah, can't promise that.
Adrian Clarke will be the man with the balls and the hat later. Incredible. We focus, though, on the task at hand, the chalkboard. Our question of the day, Adrian, should Alex Iwobi retain his position in the starting 11 when Mesut Ozil returns from injury?
Absolutely. Of course he should, because the rule should be in football, is if you play well, then you keep your place. Possession has always been 9/10 of the law in football teams that I've played for anyway. And if you're delivering for the manager, if you're doing exactly what is required for the team, then I think you should keep your place. And yeah, there's a part of me that would think, if in Alex Iwobi's shoes, if there was to be left out for Mesut Ozil, you know, after the international break, it would make me think, well, what more do I need to do in terms of keeping my place? So, but look, who knows? Mesut Ozil is almost untouchable. We know that Arsene Wenger loves to pick him, and he's a brilliant player. I'm one of his biggest fans, but I just like competition for places. And if it was me, if I was in charge, then I would, on the back of his last performance, I would certainly pick him again next time out.
OK, so we're taking a little bit of stock for the international break, Adrian. Now, what would be your season report card so far for Arsenal? How would it read?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I couldn't go above a 6.5 out of 10 because there have been a couple of disappointments. And I thought the performances against Stoke and Liverpool were way below par. But the opening day was you know, very hit or miss, even though the team showed good character. But, and this is the big but, the team is improving really fast. Every performance they're producing at the moment is a little bit better than the last. Defensively, fewer errors are taking place. So no, I can see some positive signs, no doubt about that. But look, I think to be getting 7, 8, 9 out of 10, we would have needed to have beaten Liverpool. We'd need to be right up there with the Uniteds and Cities of this world. So look, I'm not writing anything off this year. I think we've got a very talented team, but there is work to be done, I think. And I think the Arsenal Wenger side is definitely a work in progress at the minute. So yeah, I'll go with 6.5, but the signs look good.
And back in action against, of course, Watford a week on Saturday. Clarkey, we'll chat about that one in next week's chalkboard. Time now, though, to focus back on the brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast editor, Liam Roberts, is here with me in the studio. Big man, how's it going?
Good stuff, yeah. It's, again, strange being in the studio in Adrian's chair, but kind of comfortable.
Fits well on you,
yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
It's comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, very good. He's looking well set here, Clarke. You better watch out and take it away.
First of all, Clarke, I just want to know, what's the ball handling skills for the draw?
I've got no idea. The exciting part is that I'm going to know for sure whether there are hot or cold balls. I will know, won't I?
Do you have to wear gloves? Is it like the snooker where you have to wear gloves?
I might glove up. They might not let my fingers, my grubby little fingers go on the balls. So yeah, maybe I'll be fitted with an FA issue glove. But yeah, no, what an honour.
Will this be the closest you've ever been to the FA Cup?
Yeah, bring it on. So yeah, no, I don't think they'll be using me for the latter rounds. Let's be honest about that. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good afternoon.
5 second team talk on how you're going to do it.
I'm going to shuffle hard, Russ, and I'm going to close my eyes just to be super fair.
Perfect.
Full report next week. Okay, so Brain of Arsenal, our quiz that we've been playing for 5 or 6 weeks now.
It feels longer.
Yeah. it's been a popular feature as well. You were getting tweets yesterday, weren't you guys?
Indeed, we were. About, can someone finally get the three-peat?
Yeah, I hope not, because I'm running out of questions in Emirates Stadium. So Russ is, as he said, week three or week four?
Week three.
Week three of Emirates Stadium. This week you're up against Adrian, who has chosen the FA Cup final of 2014.
Uh-huh,
memorable day. How memorable, we'll find out in a minute. Russ, you chose last week.
I went first last week.
So Adrian, would you like to go first or second?
I'll let Russ go.
Oh, OK, he's deferring. I like this. Okay then, so four questions on Emirates Stadium, starting now. Russ, can you name 6 of the 8 international teams to have played a friendly at Emirates?
Brazil, Argentina. I know Brazil have featured in every single one. Well, that isn't a point, is it? No, OK. This is where I'm going to have to get a little bit creative. I'm going to say... Colombia?
No.
Oh, so no, I can't. It's the answer.
Could have had Portugal, Sweden, Italy, Republic of Ireland, Scotland or Chile.
Oh, I knew Chile. I knew Chile.
Oh. It's easy to say on the other side of the phone line, AD. Okay, question two. How many weeks did it take to build the Emirates?
Weeks. Oh, my goodness. First stones were laid... Oh, I'm just trying to remember now from... Oh, I'm going to say... 42.
123. Oh, dear. Half point? No. Question three. How many acres does the Emirates site cover?
16.
Oh, it was 17.
Oh!
That's a great effort. A great effort. And finally, can you name three of the four corner bars at the Emirates at club level?
No, I can't.
They're very Arsenal-based names.
Okay,
so.
Let's say there's going to be a Dennis Bergkamp bar.
No.
Thierry Henry bar.
No.
And a Ian Wright bar.
It's not. They're all legends. There's a Legends bar. There's Royal Oak, the Champions bar, and 49ers.
Zero, zero. You should have got that one, mate.
It's a zero.
That was, again, horrifically tough. Three-peat.
Had to be done. That was self-preservation for myself as well, actually, because
wow.
I'm done on Emirates. So, Adrian, you need one on the 2014 FA Cup final. Please get one. Question one, what was the date of the final?
17th of May, 2014. Never forget it.
Correct. Question two. Which minute did Aaron Ramsey score the winning goal?
109.
Correct. Who refereed the final?
Lee Probert.
Correct. Question four. Who scored Hull's goals? Hull's goals.
James Chester and Curtis Davis.
4-0. He's whitewashed.
You can put Wikipedia back away now, Clarkie, on your phone.
Back of the net.
Sorry, lie, I'm kind of relieved. I'm kind of relieved. So, AD, you will keep the 2014 FA Cup final. Next week, we're taking a week off from the quiz, but I'll be here just to kind of give us an update on the scores because I don't think either of you know.
I think it's going to be quite close because I think I'd nudged ahead and then I'm pretty sure that's got it pretty close to parity again.
Yeah, I'll have to do some quick maths to get the scores.
Turning into an epic, isn't it, boys?
Yep.
And so, Russ, which your new subject for 2 weeks' time?
Could I have Arsenal first team kits and kit sponsors?
Nice. Okay, yeah. I think I can research that, yeah.
Thank you very much. Clarkie, look forward to speaking to you soon, pal, and thank you very much, Lee.
Yeah, been a pleasure, boys. Enjoy the international break.
The final word.
The final word this week goes to New Orleans Saints defensive end Cam Jordan. The Saints beating Miami Dolphins by 20-0 at Wembley on Sunday in the NFL, and Cam was at the Emirates back on Monday for the win against West Brom.
This is my first soccer match that I've ever attended. It's awesome. I mean, we walked probably like, you know, two blocks to get here. I was like, it's 60,000 plus people. I was like, where is it? You know, normally you come to one of our football stadiums, you see it two blocks away. But it gives it a very surreal feel when you walk up into it and you realize how grand this thing is. It's a chance for us to not only spread our own knowledge of you know, different countries, different aspects, different communities, but it also just gives us that much more of an appreciation of coming out to an event like this where, you know, you realize you guys say football and we automatically think hitting. You say football, you know, it's clearly talking about the pitch. And just to see, you know, the different style of course, you know, with athletes, I'm 6'4", 285 pounds, so I don't know what that turns into kilos, or is that a buck 37, you know? And you're probably not going to see anything my size on a pitch field.
Just as quick, though.
Yeah, you know, I like to think so. Just in terms of the athleticism that they show, you get really excited about, you know, a game such as this.
What are you most looking forward to seeing tonight?
Come on, I'm trying to be part of the crowd. I'm about to go. Like, as far as who wins, clearly I'm rooting for Arsenal.
Good man. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Aaron Ramsey, Adrian Clark, Cam Jordan, and of course to Matt Lucas for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well, and also find us on Acast these days. Remembering too to get your questions into Clarky for the chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. We're back on Monday, the 9th of October. Before then, though, we've got another Arsenal Weekly podcast stories. We'll hit in depth there from Kolo Touré, reflecting on his career with the Gunners. That's this coming Thursday, October the 5th. Until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.